ভালো।
Good evening, Cody Stowe.
Good evening, Cody Stowe.
Are you the first to arrive?
I think there was someone else when I came on.
Okay. There are two, so we will begin.
Okay.
The handout is on... available on the unique, well, it's available on the revealed wisdom matrix, and you'll find that the matrix on the revealed wisdom link. Once you've found the matrix, scroll to row 11, just the second column from the left. That will open up a landing page for the advanced reincarnation classes. And then scroll down to class 30D as in dog. And that opens up to chapter 31, section 7B. That's where we will begin our class today. And we'll start with the Lishenya food. Lishenya food could shabri fu ishkinte bit hilu urhimu, hilu ut hilu urhimu. Layafta, Lishem, yud he bavate. The Yehuda, Shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sof Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai lohinu alena masaya deno penenele na masaya deno penenehu. The Soul of Joseph, Chapter 31, Section 7b. This is the secret of, he appointed it as an edut, as a testimony to Joseph. This is a verse from Psalm 81. Since Joseph merited to receive the neshama of Hanok, which is called Edi, my witness, as said. Therefore, Joseph was Yafet Toar. He was handsome, is the way that is translated. Because he merited Adam's Yafio, his beauty, which came to him from the edge of the Neshama of the supernal Atzilut. And let us look at the footnote. The Talmud teaches the handsomeness of Jacob is like the handsomeness of Adam. Joseph was like Jacob. Moreover, he was the one to draw Jacob's light, the beauty and accomplishments into expression. This is the underlying idea between these revelations about Joseph as opposed to Jacob. What that's saying is essentially what Jacob stood for, Joseph manifested. Normally we think of manifestation as being the level of Malchut, as opposed to Zeron Pin, which is the spiritual idea. But here, what's being expressed is that Joseph, being the level of Yesod, and that aspect of Yesod, some aspect of Yesod, is always connected to Malchut. So sometimes the idea of Yesod represents that level of Malchut, of manifestation. And that's what the word beauty, which in Hebrew is being expressed as Yafyo, Yud Pei essentially, Yud Pei Yud. Continuing to read. The primary root of the soul of Joseph is in Yesod, also known as the Tzaddik, who stands between heaven and earth and unites them. That's also a footnote that we will look at shortly. Heaven and earth are relatively the sun and the moon, which is footnote 3, so we'll look at both footnotes together. Uniting them is the intrinsic witness quality. This explains the correlation between Yosef and Chanoch and why they are both divine witnesses. Looking at the footnotes, footnote 2, Elijah also strongly associates with this quality of a witness. He was first Pinchas, who was zealous for the Brit, for the covenant, guarding of Yesod, and he is known as the angel of the Brit, according to the Zohar. The third footnote, therefore anyone who recites, "and the heavens and the earth were finished," which is a book, it's a verse from the chapter 2 of Genesis, the first verse of chapter 2, is a faithful witness to the above and is a partner in its creation of heaven and earth. This is a concept from the Shabbat. So if you are reading, studying, reciting the verse, you are being a witness. What is not really being expressed here is the concept. If we scroll back up to the paragraph where the verses are what's trying to be expressed in this paragraph, which is a commentary by the translator, there is, as you transform either up, going climbing the tree of life, or moving down the tree of life, there is a level that represents a connection between the two different stages that those two different sephirot represent. The easiest way to understand it is as if we perceive the physical world as being the four different worlds. We have inanimate objects, we have plants, we have animals, and we have humans. And these four worlds, these four different levels, represent different desires to receive. And as those desires to receive actually represent a greater or different ways of moving. So the inanimate object only moves internally with the atoms, A-T-O-M, with the molecules. The next level up, that of the plants follow the sun. So their movement, they don't move from their physical location necessarily, but they move to follow the sun, to receive more of the light of the sun. The third being the animals, they can move much more than the plants do, and the human can actually control the environment. So we can perceive these four different categories as different desires to receive. As you move from one level to the other, as you move from the inanimate to the plant worlds, you need a category that has attributes of both, that represents this transition, this growth from one to the other. And that is what is saying, when you are studying the verse, chapter 2, verse 1, and you are studying about heaven and earth, or the sun and the moon, you are actually uniting that. Hold on a second, please. Come in. So what I was saying is that as you move from one level to the next, you are uniting them. And in that uniting, hold on a second, please. I'm sorry for the delay. So what I was saying is that as you study this verse, you are connecting two different levels. Heaven and earth is a different level. Sun and moon are different levels. And so that is the essence of the word yafyo, or beauty, but it's probably, or handsome. It's not necessarily a good translation, as you can realize, because you're really talking about a transition process, a connecting of two different levels. I hope that's clear, and now I'm going to continue to read. They are both also called lad. Both Hanoch and Yosef are referred to as lad in different locations in the Tanakh. This implies pending maturity. Yetzirah draws from Zeranpin, who must go through Katnut, being small or constricted consciousness, in order to get to Gadlut, the expanded consciousness, the full growth of maturity. Hanoch is the minister of the world, as if God's viceroy. Earthly kingship is like heavenly kingship. That's a statement from the Talmud in the section of Brachot, which is presently being studied by the Daf Yomi. Joseph was the viceroy to Pharaoh. The world is drawn from Zeranpin. It needs to grow up from the constricted state of consciousness that presently perceives separation between above and below, to the expanded headset that will see above and below as one. Hanoch and Joseph are the ones who have this special consciousness and are therefore in charge of the world in order to labor to elevate it to the perfection that it needs to attain. And let us now look at footnote number 4. The names Elijah or Eliyahu has a gematria of 52, which is 2 times the gematria of Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is 26, indicating this ability to unite above and below. Hashem's name, when spelled out, one of the categories that is spelled out has a gematria of 52, which is twice 26.
Hello.
Yes.
I don't know if it's in this portion that we're reading, but I remember in writings of the Ari, I think it was, and especially since Tony's Hebrew name is Joseph, even like I remember Joseph is 6 times the gematria.
Yes, but we're talking about Eliyahu. Joseph is 6 times.
Yeah.
But what they're explaining is Eliyahu, we think of Eliyahu as traveling between heaven and earth for all of the Brits, all of the circumcisions. We think of Eliyahu. So it's the section is trying to describe what the soul of Joseph is and how he relates to Hanoch and how he relates to Eliyahu. And one of the attributes that they all three categorize, they're called witnesses in different aspects, different areas of life. Eliyahu excuse me, I've got to open the door and I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm back now, and I won't be disturbed anymore. I apologize for the interruptions.
No, that's okay.
So what I was saying was that the three men Joseph, Hanoch, and Eliyahu represent the connection between different levels of consciousness, different descriptions. So Eliyahu travels between heaven and earth to visit with the circumcision rites. Hanoch is thought of as traveling or being between the angels and the human beings, because that he became Memtet. And Joseph is thought of as controlling the emotions and manifesting the control of the emotions. So this is what is being expressed by the commentary, the translator's comments. Again, I hope that's clear for you.
Better, yes, thank you. I just thought maybe they were going to compare. I guess you say elevated status by number of times multiplied by the tetragrammaton.
In a sense, they do, because if you think of it, Hanoch has a gematria of 84, which is it represents a level of consciousness, the number 84, which relates to Hashem in the sense that, I'm just thinking, it's Eighty-four is 78 plus 6. 78 is 3 times Hashem's name. And the 6 Sephirot represents transversing the 6 levels of Zeranpin. And Hanoch represents that level of between the angels
and
who are tasked with only one thing at a time, and a human being who's tasked with multiple things.
Okay.
I'm continuing to read. Neshama is always this transcendental, hence his beauty is otherworldly. All of this is the reason behind Joseph's extraordinary gorgeousness, an expression of the splendorous supernal lights of Neshama of Atzilut in the physical world. Neshama is always a transcendental, hence his beauty is otherworldly. And Joseph was handsome in appearance and good looking. Let's look at footnote 5. The Midrash tells that the wife of Potiphar told her friends that she had a problem. She invited them over to see what it was. She showed them Joseph. They were so absorbed by looking at him that they cut their hands with the knife instead of the bread. It's just an expression of being distracted by someone who is so incredibly beautiful that you have to pay attention.
Wasn't it said that his beauty from Raquel, from his mother?
Actually, what's said is that he was an image of Jacob. That Jacob It said that Adam was beautiful, that he shone with the light from the internal aspect of his body through the translucent skin, that light was distracting, was so beautiful to the animals. It said that about Jacob, that he was beautiful as well. And in that context, we have to question the idea of whether Esau was beautiful or they were fraternal twins and not identical twins. And there are some readings of some writings that express that they were identical as well. But the internal aspect, the values that Esau espoused, was not anywhere near the values that Jacob espoused. And then Joseph got his beauty from both his parents, because every child gets their chromosomes and their genetic makeup from both children, from both parents. So we can't say it was the only Jacob. But the relationship of Yesod to Tiferet is that of a lower level of beauty associated with Yesod. Jacob, being Tiferet, was manifesting both Chesed and Gevurah. Joseph was manifesting a connection between the physical and the spiritual. Mm-hmm. So we can see them both, and that's really what's being expressed here. Let's continue to read.
Thank you.
However, Joseph did not merit this good looking, this beauty, until the night of the end of the 2 years, when it was decreed that he should leave jail. That very day he rose to greatness. He became an adult. He grew from the level of being connected to the physicality, even though he controlled his sexuality when he did not sleep with Potiphar. He then, what happened is he fell into the jail. He fell spiritually, because you must lose everything on a spiritual level to grow to the next level up. And within Yesod, by controlling his lusts, he moved from Malchut to the Tiferet of Yesod. But it wasn't manifested until he was taken up and became second to Pharaoh. So it is written, he appointed it as a testimony to Jehoshaphat when he went out over the land of Egypt. This becomes understandable when you recall what we said in previous chapters, that the Ruach, or the Neshama, enters a person at night while he is sleeping. Descent is for the sake of ascent, is a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. We must fall in order to rise higher. Joseph went through years of affliction and ended up living in great power, wealth, and honor as the viceroy of Egypt, the world's greatest nation at the time. His testimony is special because it unites affliction and delight, slavery and freedom, poverty and riches. He is Joseph, the same Joseph when he was king as when he was a slave boy. The day he left jail served as the portal between both modes. It so is the intermediary category that includes and unites both. The rabbis have a tradition that one day, that the day that was Rosh Hashanah, the portal from the old year to the new year, a new light from above is then given to the world below. Joseph went out over Egypt in royalty, empowered by the new year and the new soul it gave him. This subjugated the negative energies that were in Egypt and paved the way for his people to survive there in exile and eventually to get out of Egypt. It's also on the idea that Abraham, when he went into Egypt and he experienced what he experienced, in that Sarah was taken by Pharaoh, that process created the condition in Egypt that would allow the redemption to take place from Egypt. He set the condition in the way he handled his certainty that nothing would happen to Sarah, and how he experienced that night. It's the same idea. Continuing to read. The new soul often comes during sleep. For the most part, it always comes through sleep. When you go upstairs at night, and during the day, you had achieved the tikkun of a certain portion of your soul, a certain part of your body, whether at the ruach level or at the neshama level, those parts of the soul do not come back down, but a different part of the same part of the body, the same part of the soul, but a different one comes down. And that takes place in the process of sleeping. The soul parts are exchanged, and when they come down. And as we've discussed, as you grow and those soul parts have come down, you may no longer feel comfortable with the name that you were given and you used as a child. And as you grow into an adult, you will change your name. Because the soul parts, the soul that you went to sleep with, is returned to you, as we say in the morning with the Mode Ani. But it's not the exact exchange. It's not the exact same 613 components. Continuing to read. The new soul often comes at the changing of the guard during sleep. The soul and the day leave. The soul returns together with a different day and its additional soul. You can also understand what the sages say based upon the end of the verse. He appointed it as a testimony to Jehoseph when he went out over the land of Egypt, when I heard a language unknown to me. That night, Gabriel came and taught him the 70 languages. What actually happened was that the Neshama of Hanoch, Memtet, the minister over the 70 nations, who knows their 70 languages, entered him that night. And immediately he knew the 70 languages. Even though the rabbis teach that Gabriel was his linguist, his mentor, the Sefer Yetzirah reveals that Gabriel was Joseph's general teacher. Through his learning with Gabriel, Joseph was elevated to a state to be able to receive the extra super soul of Chanukah, by means of which he automatically knew the 70 languages. My commentary. Please learn this spiritual truth. One does not need to learn in the physical world all that one needs to know. Sometimes, with great merit, one can just receive the information and just know it without consciously learning it in the traditional school study or life experience manner or way. There are many stories that relate this to happening in our world. People criticize the Kabbalah Center for not teaching Talmud first. This is the explanation that will never suffice to someone who is not aware of this experience. Sometimes you just know, and you cannot explain how you know to somebody else. You went to bed without the information, and you woke up with the information in your conscious mind. It happens. Expect it to happen so that it will happen to you. The rabbis point out that his name is spelled Yehoseph in this verse with an additional letter He. It is the letter of Malchut, according to the Zohar, and it furnished him with royal energies. The 70 kingdoms each have their own Malchut channel. Joseph ascended to the root of Malchut, and so accessed all of them. Moreover, through knowing their tongues, he reigned over them, physically, for he controlled Egypt, the superpower of the world at that period. Spiritually, he controlled all of the flow of sustenance to the world. This was all through his perfect guarding of the covenant, which subjugates all the nations and their tongues. This also links with the concept of Malchut, of the He being Malchut, being the source of speech. And let us look at the sixth footnote. Malchut, we call the mouth. This is from the Tikkuni Zohar, but we've also learned it in many other places that Malchut is the mouth in the physical head of a human being. And this all links with the above about testimony, which is done with the mouth, and thereby reveals the lights of truth above in Zerantin, down below in Malchut, bringing the truth of Zerantin at whatever level of consciousness, whatever experience. It comes into the truth in the physical world through the use of the mouth. I'm continuing to read. This Neshama of Hanokh also reincarnated into Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Elisha, the high priest. And Rabbi Yishmael, if it's the same one, which I think it is, became one of the martyrs that was murdered in the generation of Rabbi Akiva. by the Romans. And so with respect to Rabbi Yishmael, it also says he was very Yafet Toar, as the Talmud says. By using the same words, we make a connection to the soul. This is one of the techniques that the Ari uses. This is a secret of what is written in the Perkei Hekalot. When Rabbi Yishmael ascended to the exalted heights, Memtet called to him, "Return my radiance." The Perkei Hekalot was the writings associated with Hanoch, and Hanoch being associated with Memtet. And all of these words being the same but used about different people is how the sages make these connections that we just wonder at. Continuing to read.
Hanoch was
the reincarnation into Rabbi Yishmael had to occur for two reasons. The first reason was because Hashem said, "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge, for on that day that you eat, you shall surely die." However, this neshama was not with Adam when he died, having been withdrawn, and so it never really suffered death. If you'll remember in our study of advanced reincarnation, way back at the beginning, we spoke of every soul being as part of Adam and Chava, but there were different categories of souls. Some, the way they fell, how they participated in the sin, and there were a few parts of Adam's soul that left, that did not participate in the sin. And Rabbi Yishmael is said to have been one of those soul parts. We see from this what an awesome portion Joseph and Rabbi Yishmael, his Gilgul, have in fixing the original sin. This is the reason why Joseph went through so much suffering, and Rabbi Yishmael was one of the 10 executed by the government, as I described. He died al Kiddush Hashem, for the sanctification of the divine name, fixing the opposite of that which was caused by the original sin. As mentioned, it had caused the departure of the Zihara Ila. Joseph and Rabbi Yishmael embodied the Zihara Ila'a in themselves. Their tremendous Mesirut Nefesh, self-sacrifice, paved the path for it to be eventually restored to the world at large. We speak constantly of the Shoah in our generation. And we speak that those who died in the Shoah died Kiddush Hashem, for the sanctification of Hashem. They died because they are a Jew. Any person who dies because he is a Jew is said to be sanctifying Hashem's name, Kiddush Hashem. We can understand now, or we can better understand, how the horror of the Shoah, of 6 million people dying because they are Jewish. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We can understand how the horror had to be have an equal and opposite action, which was the establishment of the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel. And we know that that this establishment of the modern state of Israel could have come about without the Shoah. But in order to do so, there would have been necessary tremendous amounts of suffering by the Jewish people that did not include death, just as we studied today the book of Job, which describes that Satan was given permission to abuse the soul of Job, but he could not kill him. Can you imagine how much suffering, more suffering, the Jewish people would have had to gone through to experience the building of the modern state of Israel, the revelation of the modern state of Israel? All of this is not said in this section, but it's being expressed in this section. Continuing to read. This is the secret of why both of them, Rabbi Ishmael and Joseph, suffered specifically through their good looks. They needed to die, and it is said that every soul will have to experience death prior to the resurrection. Does that mean that you have to die? No, because you've already died in your earlier incarnations. And that's why we can choose to die in our generation after the year 2000. Doesn't mean you had to be born after 2000, but if you were alive during the year of 2000, you have this free choice. Do you want to die? It's a choice you can make, to die or not die. Why would you die? Because you're saying the suffering, the pain, the difficulty of life no longer must lead you to death. You've already experienced death. But you have to learn that you have the choice. Otherwise, you just accept the teachings of the world that everybody has to die. Chas v'shalom. Continuing to read. This is the secret of why both of them suffered specifically through their good looks. The wife of Potiphar desired Joseph's beauty. She tried to seduce him. When he refused, she turned the tables and accused him of it. Because of this, he was put into prison. When Rabbi Ishmael was sentenced to execution, the daughter of the Caesar requested him to be spared, for she desired his beauty. The request was denied, but they peeled off his face skin while he was alive to preserve an image of him. The pain that they went through for their looks, drawn from Zihara Ila'a, peeled the husk of this level, caused by the sin, allowing for a time to come, a time that is coming, when it would once again fully manifest. It is the bones of Joseph that energize the emancipation from Egypt, and its conclusion by the splitting of the sea. That first liberation is the source of all following liberations, climaxing in the final redemption that is yet to happen. And yet we live in a time that it is happening. The world to come is coming in our generation. Is it a generation this year? Tonight? Or could it be a generation later from now? That choice is up to you and I. Through the actions of revelation of light that we do each day of the year, each action that we do, each mitzvah that we perform, we build on the mitzvot that were done in earlier generations. We build on the light that was revealed by the earlier generations doing the mitzvot. There's always a question, why didn't the Mashiach come in Rabbi Akiva's generation with these 10 or 11 tremendous souls who had to die in these horrible ways? Why didn't it happen right after the Shoah? But of course it did, the revelation of the modern state of Israel. We still live in this process, but we, the Mashiach, is being drawn by our doing mitzvot. We need to appreciate that. We need to understand that. We need to have that as part of our consciousness when we do a mitzvah. It's why we say the L'shem Yichud when we study. Because it brings that consciousness to the fore. Continuing to read. It is the bones of Joseph that energized the emancipation from Egypt and its conclusion by the splitting of the sea. The first liberation is a source for all the following liberations, climaxing in the final redemption. May it happen tonight. And may we all say amen.
Amen.
This is the part of why one of the two Mashiachs is Mashiach, the son of Joseph. Elijah comes with Mashiach, the son of David. This is a hint. There is Joseph, there is Hanoch ben Yared, and there is Elijah. This is the three components, the three leaders of the Jewish people. There was Moshe, there was Aaron, and there was the Sanhedrin. The three components of the leaders of the Jewish people. It's continuing to read. Furthermore, Joseph also sinned, having caused his brothers to sell him when he provoked them with his dreams, and because he spoke badly about them to his father. Therefore, this soul had to reincarnate into Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Elisha, the high priest, in order to finally undergo death. The natural death he died as Joseph did not serve to atone for this. This This is hinting to us that our deaths in earlier lifetimes, or in this lifetime, if we have not experienced an unusual, a supernatural death, then we would still have to undergo death. But for the most part, we all died in the Shoah, and that was not a natural death. It was a supernatural death. And we learn that from the efficiency of the German people in the way they worked at eliminating the 6 million. There are many descriptions in the history books of how the Germans would make the priority the killing of the transportation of the Jewish people in their train cars. That would be a priority to move that rather than military supplies to the front lines. It's just one example of their efficiency, which was directed for the sake of heaven. Of course, it's hard to say, it's hard to realize that the Shoah was for the sake of heaven. But that's what Kiddush Hashem means. They died for the sake of heaven. Continuing to read. Know that Adam merited the Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya from Malchut, Tiferet, Bina, and Chachma of Atzilut. All four of them at once. Moses merited the Dot of Atzilut. The three forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, merited Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet of Atzilut, respectively. This is put specifically here, after having expanded about Neshama of Atzilut and its manifestations in the world. The other levels of Atzilut are not to be left out. Also here, some of what is necessary to restore the Neshama is explained. From this, one can draw parallel and figure out what is necessary to draw the rest. It involves following in the ways of the forefathers. If you do not know, O most beautiful of women, go in the footsteps of the shepherds. This is a verse from Shir HaShirim. I am adding. There is nothing to add as it all seems clear to me. Ask questions if it is unclear. That's the end of our section. Our hour is up. In a half hour, we will begin the Rosh Chodesh connection. I'm going to open it up for questions. But I also, before that, I want to just emphasize, when I do a writing like this writing, with these commentaries, and they're on days that are the regular mundane days, the daily, weekly, weekdays. I don't write these on Shabbats. I don't write these on holidays. I don't write these on Rosh Chodesh. But I study on all those days. And you get thoughts. As we're approaching Rosh Chodesh Shvat, I'm getting these thoughts that I expressed to you that when I wrote this originally, didn't occur to me. Nothing occurred to me, as I said. It seems clear to me. But obviously, it wasn't clear to me. And that is the difference in time where I have grown spiritually, hopefully, but also that it being the day before Rosh Chodesh, which has a more intense, elevated energy. Does anyone have any questions?
I found this one to be a very powerful one. And I got bumped off. I had to come back on the last paragraph or so. I'll have to reread that.
The whole section needs to be heard over again because
I know.
We don't hear it here.
Yes.
And I know you don't. I'm just stressing it for people. It needs to be heard again.
Well, we can do it we'll do it next week again.
Say again.
Do you want to do it again next week?
We can. Leave that up to you.
Well, I would like to.
You won't get the same comments that I did today because it's not going to be Rosh Chodesh.
Well, you know, today we did Yob, and you had done it the last time, but you said some different comments, and
yes.
It was worth hearing it twice. So,
no problem. I have no problem doing it.
Mm-hmm. I would like to.
I think that would be great. Do it again.
Joseph,
I hear you, Brandy. I'll just remember, I only have 300 years to go and see how much more we have to learn. Shavuot Tov. Kodesh Tov.
Shavuot Tov. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Merrill?
Hello.
Hello.
Kodesh Tov. We will begin Kodesh Tov to all. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link. It's underneath the two pictures on the Yeshem webpage.
No.
As I was saying, that you'll find the handout on the unique astrological times link underneath the two pictures of on the any of the Yeshem web pages. When you open up the unique astrological times, scroll down to the section of Rosh Chodesh Shabbat. That's underneath the Hanukkah, underneath the Tanit Dibur sections. And there's a link there for Rosh Chodesh 57, Rosh Chodesh Shabbat 5780. And when that opens up, we will start with commentary edition for the year 5780, part one. There are three additional parts that I put up for this month. And we were going to, since it's a Sunday night, we're going to take a little bit of time and perhaps do more extensively tonight. We'll start with a L'shem Yehud. And the first thing we will do is to connect to the energy of certainty by studying the tool that we use from Parsha Yitro, from the Sulam commentary. That's Pasuk 29. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. Le'achta l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael l'imud Torah mitzvah l'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu kunenei aleinu ma'asei adenu kunenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar v'kamatar tameinan d'kucha Barichu koma b'yaved le'ela w'tata kolayihu k'shot b'yovada tikshot v'le'lach mila b'yalma b'vaye barnash v'dach yaleya mineya ulan haga be'ya kalana tehakulu ovada. The handout, we will start reading at commentary edition of 5780, part one. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Mazal Dili, the new moon of the month of Shabbat. The sign is Aquarius, and it is arriving. It arrives tonight. As all zodiacal signs, a lot is said also about the sign of Aquarius. Here go some words about this formidable sign and its live and let live life motto. It is known that Aquarius face and live life in a quite singular way, praising responsible freedom and autonomy, not only to themselves, but to all others as well. Thinking out of the box is their normal state of being, hence they are rule breakers. Though the changes they aim are always toward all that is established, and it's never worked out, or if once it did work, now it's falling apart and it doesn't work anymore. Aquarians are fraternal towards all kinds of people. They have fast thought. They're grasping in the air what is going on, which enables them to envision solutions for a whole new, better and possible better reality that in the future. They know it's coming in the next second from now. It is said that the sign of Aquarius is ruled by the planet Saturn, which makes the Aquarians quite accountable people, and Uranus, which makes the Aquarians quite unpredictable people also. It is interesting to notice that while all the planets of our solar system spin around their more or less vertical axis, the planet Uranus spins around its horizontal axis. No wonder the Aquarians are known as the masters of the art of originality. The astrological science, and this is an unwritten commentary, the astrological science, both the traditional, the Vedic, and the Hebrew astrology, as it is portrayed today, follows the basic idea that you have 12 signs of the zodiac. Some are following the sidereal astrology, which has 13 signs of the zodiac. But all of these different systems of astrology are designed and discussed and go back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. All of them applying these astrological energies to each person on the planet. But Rabbi Ashlag in the 20th century revealed to us that everything is relative. And there are different levels of consciousness that people have reached spiritually. And these different levels of consciousness means, and this is only my opinion, but it means that the astrological influences apply differently to different people. And the traditional astrology does apply that in the sense that they look at your birth chart as through the lens or as a lens to see how it relates to the base birth chart, where the Nisan or is the first house. The planet Nisan is the first house. But there's a difference. There are people who have reached a level where they have controlled their emotions. Maybe not completely, but more so than others. And for those people who control their emotions, or any particular emotion that they have learned to control, then the outer planets that were discovered after the year 1830, when Uranus was discovered, their astrological influences of those three outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, those are the mental states. And so the astrological system needs to be adjusted. For many people, that adjustment is the intuition of the astrologer. which makes it no longer a science as it once was, because it applied to everyone. And it will be again as time develops through this process of the Mashiach. I'm continuing to read where I left off. Aquarians are inherently great sharing people, always for the sake of the broader world. However, when imbalanced, they may miss the point, slipping into eccentricities, like rebels without a cause used to do, and still do. Our dear Aquarians are quite aware of their worth, but they should learn with their opposite sign in the axis, which is Leo, how to add to their lives a pinch of Leo's self-centered energy, so to elevate more their self-esteem and appreciate more their closest ones, as well as to value more their time and their skills. All of the geniality that life toasted them with. This is an unwritten commentary. The Aquarian people, their tikkun is to deal with their family rather than their innate desire to make a big impact on the world, like saving the whales or climate change. Their tikkun, while they're brilliant, their tikkun is to make sure that they take care of their family first and not try and take care of the world while their family is falling apart. Always remember, every person's astrological influences have 12 components, not just the sun sign. I'm continuing to read. Shavua Tov and a blessed Kodesh Shvat Tov to all. It's time to let go of all those heavy bags without handles and without wheels, such as one's and others' outdated thoughts, beliefs, things, issues, relationships, and so on. And this will apply. This is the energy of Shabbat, and it will apply during this month. Time to rethink all the situations that make life seem a boring, sad fate, full of obscure, tacit agreements that inevitably bring frustrations for both the individual and the collective, the global lives, serving only to keep reality frozen in time. Remembering that everybody is in one way or another, under the influence of the sign of the month. Below, a nice overview by Rabbi Max Wyman at a website, Kabbalah Made Easy, on what is the month of Shabbat about. Shabbat, the word Shabbat, is related to the Hebrew word for staff or rod. A staff can be used as a symbol of power or as a cane to lean on. It serves a master. This is an underlying theme of the month. The constellation associated with this month is the water bucket. This symbol also represents an object that serves someone else. It draws water. Water is Torah. In secular astrology, the symbol is not the bucket, but the carrier. And this is one of the two signs out of the 12 signs of the zodiac that differ slightly from secular astrology signs. This sign, known as Aquarius, is the sign of the Jewish people. Just like a person is designated by a sign of the zodiac, similarly, a nation or a people have a sign designated to them as well. The element wind or air is associated with Shabbat. Out of the four elements, the wind, earth, water, and fire, the wind or the air is the least tangible. It often acts as a conduit for other things. It transports moisture. It brings seedlings and moves them about, and other particles of nature from one location to another. Earth, fire, and water are more important for what they are, than for what they do, whereas the air is more important for what it does. The tribe of Asher is Kabbalistically associated with Shabbat. Asher in Hebrew grammar connects the subject of a sentence to a verb. It supports the subject. This is another example of Shabbat's relationship to being subordinate to a master. The word Asher is used in the name that Hashem told Moses to tell the Jewish people what his name was when they asked. Echie Asher Echie. Asher is connecting the subject with the verb. In Hashem's essence, the subject Echie is also the verb Echie. The translation, I will be Asher what I will be. The state of being is a noun. The state of being is a verb. And that is something that people have great difficulty understanding, the true essence of Echie Asher Echie. It is both a state of being and an action of being. All of these points suggest that the month of Shabbat is prone to be a conduit for us, a stepping stone to the next step in our lives. Similarly, many things in a person's life can be looked at from two viewpoints. One view looks at the act itself. The other view is, how does the act become a means to an end? For example, I may enjoy playing tennis once a week for the pure enjoyment of the game, for the exercise, or for the company of my playing partner. However, I can also use my weekly tennis game as a means to keep me physically healthy, which gives my whole life more enjoyment, which allows me to serve God with my life with generally more joy. That second viewpoint is not a contradiction to the first view. It is an added, more elevated outlook that makes my tennis playing a more powerful spiritual experience. The letter Kabbalistically associated with Shvat is the Tzadi, otherwise known as the Tzadik. That word in Hebrew also means a righteous one. One of the qualities of the tzaddik is that he uses all of his activities for a higher purpose. When he eats, it is not just to enjoy the food. He eats to live, so he can serve his creator. The Talmud says a righteous man eats to satisfy his soul. Eating is our most common activity that can be seen from these two viewpoints. It's a daily opportunity for spiritual growth. Coincidentally, the human attribute Kabbalistically associated with Shabbat is eating. This daily experience is connected with the first mitzvah that the Creator gave to the first couple, Adam and Chava. Hashem told Adam and Eve not to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Therefore, we have a daily occasion to correct a part of our soul that is so deep and intrinsic to humanity, it reaches back into the Garden of Eating. Shabbat is a month to focus on this idea of using your normal daily behavior as a means for spirituality. This month, think through your work, play, exercise, eating, reading, and others, and focus on the spiritual side of these actions. The commentary that is part two. The secret of the staff, and we just learned that Shabbat is connected to the word, the Hebrew word for staff. That's the stick that people used to carry around with them for defense and for assistance in walking when you're walking up a mountain or climbing over a rock. Your staff was an assistant to you. Man leveled out the earth. They made streets and roads that are level. And so we think we don't need a staff. The operative word in that sentence is think. The secret of the staff, and therefore the month of Shabbat, has to do with the simple and powerful consciousness of truly knowing that we are completely connected, always connected to the endless light, the source of everything. And when we know this, the strength of our consciousness and knowledge of it influences how much light we can draw. For example, if we think this only might be true, but aren't sure, then we draw only a sliver of light from the source of everything. Yet if we come to a state where we are constantly conscious and aware of this, then we're able to draw greater and greater light. When a person knows this and reminds himself of it all the time, that knowledge connects him to the source of life. The strength of that consciousness and knowledge, therefore, is the indicator of how much light we will actually draw. The more powerful and clear this knowledge is in our consciousness, the more light we can draw. So much so that the Kabbalists explain that there will come a time, as it says in the prophet Zechariah, when every person with his shvat, his staff, will even be able to bring the light to revive it, somebody who is dead. It's constant work to continually remind ourselves that we are connected to the source of all things, always. And it is the strength of that knowledge and having the constant consciousness which affects how much, how many, and how powerful the manifestations of miracles and blessings are that we can bring into our lives. But when we do this work, which begins in this month of Aquarius, we are connected to the light that can bring assistance in all areas. And to the degree there is doubt about that reality, or lack of that consciousness is the degree of lack in what we can manifest. And I am adding two reminders regarding the above discussion, the discussion of the meaning of the staff. And this came from a student named Sarah, who posted it online at the Daily Zohar website. This discussion of the staff applies to each and all month, each and every month, since we reveal light in all of the months. And the other reminder is that the Tav can be substituted for a Tet. And Shavat is spelled Shin Bet Tet. If we substitute the Tav for the Tet, it becomes the word Shabbat. This makes the month of Shavat to be the month of the concealed Shabbats, or a singular Shabbat or multiple Shabbats. Shabbat conceals the energy of Shabbat. Once you've experienced a Shabbat, you can appreciate the power and the nature of Shabbat, the month of Shabbat. And here is an unwritten commentary to help you understand the power of the month of Shabbat, the power of the Shabbat. When we say the Ana B'Koach, I have never taught you what I was taught. Rabbi Berg would teach that the saying of the Ana B'Koach requires an action. It is not sufficient in his mind, in his teaching, not sufficient to just say the words. He would take his hand, his right hand, and as he contemplated the Tikkun HaNefesh chart, he would use his hand to draw light from his palm directly to that part of the body that he was looking at in the Tikkun HaNefesh. And as he said, I may look foolish or simple, but it is a tool to work, to draw the light into your body through the Ana B'Koach, through the creation tool, and through the manifestation tool. I have not taught that because the goal is mind is matter. There are three levels of manifesting mind. One level is to utilize our tools that Hashem gave us on the physical level, hands and mouth. The form of manifesting, even feet, the form of manifesting the energy. That is one level. There is a higher level called mind over matter. Mind over matter is what it sounds like. You have a thought, and you use that thought to manifest that item out of thin air. But it's a process still. You make things happen through a process, step by step. through the four phases that we teach in Kabbalah from Rabbi Ashlag. But essentially, life is a process. But for Hashem, life is not a process. For Hashem, God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no process. The idea of mind is matter is exactly that. What you think comes into being without a process. It's instantaneous. That's the goal. And so to teach you to use your hand and to draw the light through your palm would accept the limitation of process. I'm not saying that Rabbi Berg was wrong. I'm saying that the goal of my teachings is different. Continuing to read with part three. This month is a time of new inspiration and creativity. The first part of the month may still feel dark and harsh, but that all changes after the 15th of the month, the time of the full moon, when we celebrate the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which begins the night of February 9th and manifests during the day of February 10th. What Melinda Ribner, who is the author of this commentary, said, and we say it later on again in the body of our handout, the month of Tevet for most people was very difficult. And while it is a different aspect during the month of Shabbat, the first 2 weeks frequently, year after year, feels similar to the energy of Shabbat. Excuse me, the energy of Tevet. And that's quite understandable because the letter that created the month of Tevet is the Bet in both months, and one letter in Tevet is the Ayin, while in Shabbat, it's the Tzadi. And they are similar letters. The Ayin represents sight, and the Tzadi represents the manifestation of goodness or righteousness. But you can see how the months are similar, and the similarity changes with the holiday of Tu B'Shvat. The first 2 weeks, it's not the month of Tevet, and yet it will feel like the month of Tevet, unless you take control of the month of Shvat through a Rosh Chodesh connection like we are doing. I'm continuing to read. The inner renewal in Shvat is not yet to be manifest on the physical plane. But the renewal always begins on the inner or the hidden concealed planes. This month of Shabbat is pregnant with new possibilities. It may still be cold, literally and metaphorically. But please remember, spring is here. Spring is coming. Never lose hope. Look for spring to happen in your life. Allow it to happen. Fake it till you make it. While those first 2 weeks may feel the same as Tevet, you don't have to accept that. And you can act as if it has already changed. And soon it will. The previous month of Tibet often gives us much opportunity to work on healing anger and jealousy within us. As we enter the month of Shvat, we continue to release what no longer serves us. Letting go allows us the time and space to receive new inspiration. In Shvat, we quiet the mind. We go deep inside ourselves to contact the flow of creative energy emerging within us. Take time to listen to what is bubbling up within you, rather than try to figure out life or to solve your problems with your mind. The month of Shvat is an optimal time to conceive of new projects and open to newness in your life. Open to a new beginning. Say yes to the newness of life again. Take deep breaths for a few minutes. Breathe out the old with a deep exhalation, and then receive the new breath with gratitude and surrender. Do this literally in your meditations. As you start your meditation with deep breaths, breathe out the old and breathe in the new. Just as the new breath arises within you, know that something new is going to come forth within you in the coming months. Believe that you will bear new fruit, and you will. We will each bring forth our new beautiful visions into reality. According to Kabbalistic teachings, this month is devoted to healing through eating. What and how we eat is an expression of who we are, and our relationship is to God. Food is a contraction of divine light. By eating with the proper consciousness, the godly sparks within the foods are elevated and return to their source. Eating provides an interface between the spiritual and the material. When the spiritual and physical dimensions of our lives are harmonious and unified, there is balance and joy. In the month of Shvat, we reflect on what and how we eat to support our well-being. Take time to commit to a diet that supports your well-being. Whatever diet you choose for yourself, make an effort to give up processed foods and foods laden with chemicals and hormones. Be also mindful to eat when you are hungry, rather than to eat to stuff down negative feelings. And most importantly, eat slowly, chewing your food carefully, blessing before and after, rather than gulping your food down unconsciously. I want to stress the saying of blessings. Both before you eat and after you eat. In our lives, we have lack of time. We're very busy rushing. Saying a blessing before is a stopping of that rushing. It delineates the process of your daily experience from the consciousness of connecting to the light that is represented by what you eat. The same applies to the blessings after you eat. Just like Havdalah separates between the holiness of Shabbat and the mundane days of the week, these blessings before and the blessing after separates within your day. And you will find the energy of your process to be quite different when you do this. Eating can be a most wondrous, holy, healing, sensual, and intimate experience. You may want to experiment with this eating meditation below, when you eat with others on Shabbat, or even when you eat alone. In the olden days, I used to do silent Shabbaton meals with my students, meditating throughout the meal. So much can be learned and experienced by conscious eating, combined with meditations for unification with every bite. Those Shabbat meals were so very deep and awesome and extraordinary experiences that I remember them even after 20 years. The author of this part three, Melinda Ribner, was a very close student of the songwriter, the singer, Shlomo Carlbach. And she is describing, without mentioning his name, in his Shabbat meals that he did with his close students, this was the way they ate. And we are in the period of Shavuot, where the Tanit Dibur is a process of Teshuvah. And even if you cannot do it in the sense of the Shabbat, you can do it during the mundane days of the week with the consciousness of the following meditation. In selecting the foods for a meal, take a moment to get in touch with what your body wants right now. Before you eat, take a moment to breathe at least 4 deep breaths to relax and become more present in the moment of eating. Take a moment to feel grateful and say appropriate blessings to release the divine sparks of holiness within the food. Be aware that this food has been given to nurture you in the ways we or you need right now. Eat slowly and consciously, chewing each bite of food many times until it becomes almost liquid. We present with your feelings as much as possible. Be present with your feelings as much as possible. Know that the person who prepared that food, if they were angry, that anger is in the food. But you can remove it. If you inject the consciousness of serenity in the food that you eat. You can't do that if you gulp it down. You can do that if you chew each bite 100 times. And as you chew those 100 times, you think about serenity, and that's what you're injecting into the process of eating. Be present with your eating as much as possible. Delight in the sense and taste sensations in all the foods that are on your plate. Be aware and grateful how this food is a divine gift and blessing to you. This food lifts you up on all levels and energizes you to serve Hashem. After you complete eating, take a moment to relax, allowing all the food to digest, and say appropriate blessings of gratitude. Food blessings can be simple to learn and to do. learn quickly. There are six categories of food, each with its own blessing, for before one eats them, and there are three blessings for feeding after. The blessing afters is the most important. The categories are bread, wine, and grape juice, fruit, vegetables, grains, and miscellaneous food. Here is a blessing that most people do not know and use. I will add this prior to Rosh Chodesh, and I didn't have time to do so. But you can find it in any bencher that you have ever purchased or that you find or that you utilize. A bencher is the Yiddish word for blessing. A bencher is published by Art Scroll as one, by many of the different groups publish their own. But they all have this following blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Nefeshot Rabot V'Chesronan Al Kol Ma Shebarata B'Chachayot Bahem Nefesh Kol Chai Baruchei HaOlamim. I just said that as a teaching tool. You can listen to the recording and learn it. What is important about that blessing is it applies to foods that don't have another blessing, another final blessing. It applies to everything you drink. If you say hamotzi, and you break bread and eat bread at a meal, it does not, the final blessing of the Berachah HaMazon does not cover the liquids that you drink during the blessing, during the meal. That's not, there are different exceptions to that statement, but essentially, if you say the blessing I just said, if you memorize it and have it available on the tip of your mind, the tip of your tongue, most meals you drink something, sometimes during the meal, sometimes after the meal. Saying the other final blessings is appropriate and necessary and important. But it's important to say this one as well. In addition to the quality of our physical food, we need to look at love and work in our lives. The main areas that either nurture or deplete us. In the month, take on a new behavior, a new activity that nurtures your well-being and eliminates or limits a behavior or activity that drains or depletes you energetically. If that is not possible to let go of an activity or a person who is draining you, you can always work to change the way you respond to the challenge so you are not reactive and becoming depleted. When we nurture ourselves with positive thought and activities, we are strengthened and less vulnerable to external stress. This month will offer much blessing to you, even if it is not clearly manifest to you in the ways you can openly see. Be open to surprises, to new people, and new activities this month. The Torah portion read during the week of Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Bo. Bo is the email that you received Motzi Shabbat from Yashem. Bo recounts the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. This event is very much in line with the energy of this month, a time of breaking free from the past and beginning anew. This is the nature of spring. In this Torah portion, we see the final plagues given to demonstrate Hashem's power, and finally take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Before we can fully be on this journey towards freedom and love, we need to release some of the barriers restraining us in going forward. During the Torah portion of Bo, we read about Passover to help us in going forward. Life today may be challenging on many levels. Just as the Jewish people in bondage in Egypt called out for divine assistance, so we also must call out on a personal and collective level. Then we have to listen to be guided and get ready to move forward. May we each have a wonderful, blessed month of Shabbat, filled with new beginnings. In the next section, I've given you an additional understanding of the word Dali. Dali is the water bucket in Hebrew astrology. In regular astrology, as we said above, it is the water carrier. The carrier is the water bucket, but the carrier is also a human being who carries the water. And always know, any aspect of water, sea, ocean, river, any aspect of water is a code word for Torah. Dali can be translated, the Dalet is the doorway, the Lamed is the teacher, and the Yud at the end of the word is the personal pronoun, mine. So Dali means a door to my teaching. Which teaching? That of the Torah. Another translation is my lack, because Dali is a Hebrew word that means lack, my lack. It comes from the word dal, with the same letters with different vowels. My lack is always fulfilled by the Torah. We have already completed our hour in these three additional commentaries. Here is one from last year that I'm not going to say, but I recommend you read it. The word Shavat, Shin Bet Tet, has the two meanings, or three really. It means the month of Shavat. It means a staff, but it also means a tribe. I'm just scrolling down and picking aspects that are important for you to pick up on. I highly recommend you read all of the handout. The tribal totem for Joseph is complicated. It includes three different animals, one for Joseph, one for Ephraim, and one for Manasseh. Forat, Shor, and Ra'am. The Porat is the totem for Joseph. It means a wild donkey. Remember, Mashiach will be riding on a white donkey is one of the prophecies. But the word donkey, in addition to Porat meaning a wild donkey, is the word in Hebrew chamor. But chamor both means a donkey, and it also means physicality. The shore is a bull. But sometimes the Kabbalists are translating it not as a bull, but as the species of the buffalo. But their meaning is the water buffalo, not the land buffalo of the Americas. And the Rayam is translated as an oryx, which is a large, powerful, desert-dwelling antelope. The Rayam represents an opposite essence of family, which is related to the shore, to the water buffalo. The Aquarian child will sometimes need the family in the home to nurture its growth, and sometimes will be stifled by the family and the need for the freedom of the wild donkey. One final point to keep in mind. The shore has the same letters as one of the names of God, Vav Shin Resh, which deals with recognizing patterns of behavior, including patterns of mistakes that remain uncorrected from lifetime to lifetime. And this helps to explain the genius of the Aquarian people. The tribal stone, the Shoham stone, has the quality of charisma, illusion, delusion. The onyx stone has the paradoxical power to remove delusions from people who have them, and to give delusions to people without them. The onyx stone has the essence of medicine. Take too much and you will get sick, while in the correct amount it assists you in returning to balance. And this is why the onyx stone is to be used sparingly. The tribal herb is the Ma'ala Ashan, the rising smoke, the smoke of the rising plant. This plant is very important to the mixture of the Ketoret. It is not included in the 11 components, it's the 12th, but is mixed with them after they are mixed. This plant has the ability to rise straight up to heaven without deviation, just as the Aquarian has the ability to balance family and to save the world. The knowledge of which plant this is has been lost. It is the secret of one family of Kohanim. The final descendants of this family tried to pass the information to Rabbi Akiva after the destruction of the temple. When the scroll with the information was opened, it disintegrated into powder. The teaching that the sages took away from this incident is that is what is yours will be yours, and never worry about losing it. What is not yours will be taken from you, and one need not to worry about its loss. This knowledge will be returned to the Cohen family from which it was removed when the appropriate time arises. In our earlier class tonight, which is on the same recording, because I didn't separate between the two, on this earlier class, we spoke about how sometimes you just know. Sometimes the information just comes into your mind. Sometimes you don't have to go through the process of learning step by step. Sometimes it just comes to you. That is what will happen when this smoke rising plant is needed. And what is it? What is the issue of the smoke rising plant? When the sacrifices were burnt on the altar when the temple existed, the smoke would rise to heaven, straight up. The wind could be blowing, the smoke rose straight. The wind could change direction and the smoke rose straight. Sometimes that smoke took the shape of a lion, and that person knew that his sacrifice was accepted. Sometimes the smoke took the shape of a dog, and that person knew his sacrifice wasn't accepted. Everything is available. Everything will be known. The process will come to an end. And this is the nature, the essence of Mashiach. That's my opinion. The house associated with the month of Shabbat is Bet Ahava, the house of love. The essence is sharing, giving to others without an expectation of return. Please know there are two words in English. One is giving and one is sharing. Giving is the word that means you're transferring something from yourself to another, but you have an expectation. You expect something in return. Sharing is when you have no expectations. You're transferring what you have to another without expecting anything in return. And this is why the care that is done by the Chevra Kedisha Society, the taking care of a dead body, is sharing. There's no expectation that it'll be returned to you. There's a hope that there'll be somebody after you who will wash your body, who will stand guard over your body before it's buried. There is a hope that someone will be there for you, but there's not an expectation that that person that you're doing it for will be there to do it for you. How could they be? They're dead. Of course, when you have the strength and the power and connection, and your staff will resurrect the dead. Perhaps all those who have participated in a given funeral, in a given house of mourning, all those will share in the method of resurrecting the dead through the staves of life, to the staff of connection to Hashem. It's not said in the Talmud, it's not said in the Zohar, but to me it makes sense for the system to work. The tribal direction is Ma'arav. It's the West, but it's not really the West. It's the evening. Where does the evening come from? It comes from a lack of sun. The setting of the sun in the West. It's not a direction. It's a consciousness. And that applies to other directions. The two letters that I mentioned above that relate to the month of Shvat, the Bet, which created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the letter Tzadi, representing the essence of righteousness. The Tetragrammaton is He Yud Vav He. He Yod He. We will utilize this shortly as a tool to control the month of Shvat. There is only the one holiday in Shvat, that of Tu B'Shvat. Two is the number Tet Vav. 9 plus 6 is 15. We don't say Yud He because it's a name of God and we do not want to utilize the name of God that flippantly. So it's 2. Tet Vav. 9 plus 6. But it really means the 15th day, the full moon day of Shvat. And it's the New Year's of the tree. It's a day that separates between tithing from last year's season and tithing from this coming year's seasons. We are taught that the sap begins to run in the trees. We know that trees form rings. Every year they form a ring representing another year of growth. That ring comes from the sap, from the running or the raising of the sap through the tree trunk, through the branches. The Tu B'Shvat, which has come in our generation to be a Tu B'Shvat Seder with 4 cups of wine and 30 plus types of fruits. You do not have to do that so extensively, but it's a good thing to do. I recommend it. We will not be doing it as a community this year. I will be participating in a community Seder for Tu B'Shvat here in the building that I live. Tu B'Shvat, the new year of the tree, the more you learn about it, the more connected to the holiday, the more beneficial, the more light you will reveal during this month. Of course, during Shabbat, we have the balance, the next work week 3 to week 6 of the Shavuot period. Practical things to connect to the energy in a balanced way. Do new things this month. Spring is coming. Connect to the newness of spring by doing new things. When was the last time you played with your grandchildren on the floor? When was the last time you built a Lego item? When was the last time you did new things? When was the last time you ate a fruit that you hadn't eaten all year so that you could say the Shekhinah blessing? These are small things that can be done during Shabbat as the newness. One of the blessings of living in our modern world is that we have fruits that come from all parts of the world, the southern hemisphere versus the northern hemisphere. So we may not have a peach, but you can buy a peach in the market to do the Shekhinah for this current year. Learn Torah. Study the Torah. Any aspect of the Torah, but especially the Zohar. Be conscious as you eat. Very important, as we discussed above. You can't, don't have the time to chew each bite 100 times. Chew the first bite 100 times. You can consider transforming to a kosher lifestyle or a vegetarian lifestyle. And one, I will tell you a story that I find amazing. I found it amazing when I heard it, when it was explained to me, because I didn't realize it. We are all taught to eat balanced meals every 3 times a day. That in dinner, that means a protein, it means a vegetable, it means all the 4 different food groups. But I had friends who were vegetarians. And if you're planning a vegetarian Seder, substitute a roasted tomato for the shank bone. But these vegetarians had a young child. When I met them, the child was 3. And this story was told to me when he was 5. How do you teach a child to be a vegetarian? They're not eating animal protein. They're not eating complete protein. They have to learn what vegetables, which have partial proteins, need to be eaten with what other vegetables that have partial proteins. Because if you eat the wrong vegetables with the wrong grains, you don't get a complete protein, and a child needs a complete protein to grow properly. So how do you teach a child? And they were teaching their child, look, each meal you have to have a complete protein. So these grains and these vegetables, they go together. But then they watched. They watched their child. Like all children, children like what they like. And they eat a lot of what they like. But they noticed that while he didn't eat all what was on there, his plate that he was served, he would eat a few days a week, he would eat the same thing. But later in the week, he would eat the other item that made the complete protein. He ate complete proteins, but not necessarily in the order that the parents presented it to him. The child was listening to what his body needed. As adults, we have become adulterated. We don't listen to what our body needs. We don't listen to our body. Women more so listen to their bodies than men. By nature of the monthly cycle, they are more in tune with their body. And even the women have become adulterated when it comes to eating. Learn the lesson of this story of this child. No, listen to your body and eat what you need, not necessarily what you want at that moment. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedulat Yemincha, this sequence of letters has a gematria of 506, the same gematria as the name of God mentioned earlier in tonight's class, Vav Shin Resh, having to do with memories from earlier lifetimes, memories that help us connect to the mistakes that we made. 506 is also the gematria of Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Inject unconditional love into your meditations. During the month of Shabbat, our connection is in the first verse, because it is the house of love, and for many other reasons. So please join me. Please rise and dance and sing with me. Hey, oh, ah, hey. Hey, Are you dancing? Are you singing? Hey, oh, ah, hey. Hey, oh, ah, hey. Hey. Yo.
Thankful that you're living in a generation that is able to do teshuvah?
Are you thankful for taking a breath, for inhaling and exhaling as a tool to calm yourself? Yachid geh lamcha penei zochre kedushata yud gimel amet hei zayin kuf. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod, connects to Joseph that we learned today in our advanced reincarnation class. We learned about his soul, how he came from Adam. We learned how he left. We learned about Memtet of Chanoch ben Yared. We learned about the high priest, Ishmael. We learned many things today. We learned that Yesod is the spine in the human body. We learned that Yesod has to do with creativity, with creation, with sexuality. We learned many things. And we know that as much as we learn today, we have so much more to learn. And that's why we will be here at least 300 more years, so that we can learn all that we need to learn, so that we can serve Hashem. Shavatenu kabel, ushmati akatenu, yodea talumot, shinkufav, sadi yutav. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400, representing the four worlds, times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The last four letters have a gematria like the first verse, 506. It connects us to the name of God, Vav Shin Resh. Memories of previous lifetimes. It connects us to Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this connection that in order to correct our previous lifetimes, we have to learn what they are. And there are many tools and techniques to do that. We teach them in the Kabbalah, in the Yeshem website, and in the Yeshem classes. But once we know what to correct, the only way we correct that is through injection of unconditional love, step by step in our process, until we reach the level that mind is matter. And just like Hashem, similar to Hashem, we can say, let there be light, and there is light. Let this body reconnect to its soul and resurrect. This will happen. This can happen. We will make it happen together in unity. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say together in a whisper. This is the end of our class. It's a little longer than normal. I hope you found it beneficial, enjoyable, and we will do this each month as we have done so for a number of years. We take control of the month, meaning the positive attributes of that month are enhanced and the negative attributes of that month are minimized. Kodesh Tov, Rosh Kodesh Tov, Shavua Tov. The class is over, but I'm open for questions. Does anybody have a question? I believe that Brandy's animals have a question, but I need some interpretation, Brandy.
I'm not sure what they're saying out there.
Does anybody else
but they're
have a
outside.
Question?
That's Sarah and Elizabeth.
Appreciate the introduction.
Kodesh Tov.
Any other? Kodesh Tov. Does anybody have a question? Kodesh Tov, Rosh Kodesh, Shabbat Tov. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Shalom.
Kodesh Tov. Shalom.